May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. God is love. God is light. Where there is love, there is God. Echoes from the opening of the Gospel of John we hear this morning. I'd like to say a special thank you to the Reverend David Giffen, who invited me here today to share in the Word and share in celebration. Church of the Redeemer is special to me. It's my first time preaching here. I attended in the 90s, from about 91 or 92 to 5, 6, 7. I was married here in 1997 to my husband of going on 21 years, right there. That's my daughter with us there. And I always thought it would be a great thing to be able to preach from that wonderful pulpit. I missed my opportunity. Anyway, it's a delight to be here this day, and I thank you all for your hospitality. Disconnections run deeply in our experience. Themes from today's scripture passages include shaping and being shaped in community, in life, in love. From the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, we hear this: "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. What have you understood from the beginning? I ask you. What have you understood from the beginning, from the foundations of the earth? And how has that shaped your life?" Again, from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, "Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?" Disconnections run deep, because he's asking that question. Have you not understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. Exiled in Babylon, immersed in a culture that believed in numerous gods, the captured Israelites doubted whether God could rival the strength of Babylonian deities or challenge the might of the Babylonian army. In a series of rhetorical questions, the prophet reminds them that God is the only and the ultimate one, the creator of the universe. "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" Isaiah asks. God is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. So again, I ask you, what have you understood from the beginning? How has that shaped your life? And are you open to new understanding, new learnings, new paradigms? I have known and I have heard since I was wee. I have understood that God is the source of love, and that knowledge has shaped me into who I am today. I remember from quite a young age being in relationship with God. I grew up on a farm, and anybody who's grown up on a farm or out in the country knows there's always time to think when doing barn chores and taking in hay. I remember that after the busy days of school and then chores, there were nights so dark and calm and clear that to behold the radiance of the starry night sky with pink and red and green aurora borealis, the northern lights waving across the far inky horizons, that beholding such majesty was breathtaking. Many countless nights in warm summer or cold autumn, freezing winter or damp spring, I would sit out on the laundry stoop and just gaze, sending up prayers and petitions, intercessions and thanksgivings, knowing that the creator of such as this was mine. My creator, my God in whom I put my trust. The small anxieties of my youth were treasured and tended by the Creator, and my faith grew steadily in Jesus, that carpenter son of God. This was a knowledge that I had from my beginning that shaped me as a daughter of God. What have you understood from the beginning, from the foundations of the earth? And how has that shaped your life? Isaiah counsels us to wait and see what will develop. The psalmist recounts contemplation on God's awesome and steadfast love. And we are invited and discipled both into community and into the prayerful solitude which Jesus practiced. These are the rewards of the disciplines of community, reflection, and prayer. We give ourselves, each other, and God the time and space in which to develop the strength, wisdom, clarity, and freedom which we all so dearly need. Today we celebrate National Indigenous Day, and we sometimes experience disconnections when we try to integrate our past with our present and our future as peoples together in this land. We are in a place of working for justice together as 21st century people, Indigenous and colonial originating peoples, rather than inducing guilt over past experiences. It is about working for radical justice together. This has been a personal and a community journey for many of you here at Redeemer, as you have been working hard on education and awareness and justice initiatives over the past years. Many thanks to Pamela Thompson, among the rest, with whom I have been on the Pride bus at the Truth and Reconciliation events, working and walking to have justice and find justice together. It's also been a personal and a community journey for me, seeking truth, working for justice, moving towards reconciliation. That's the magic formula. We work for finding the truth and hearing the truth, revealing the truth, discovering the truth. Then there's the justice piece, which has to come before reconciliation. Truth, then justice, than reconciliation. So for me, that's been my work as I come alongside and listen and learn and open and evolve into being a more fully human being. Last September, there was a gathering in Pinawa, Manitoba, where a group of Indigenous and non-Indigenous people were called together from across our country, invited by our primate to listen, especially to listen, and also to talk together about the directions we are taking as a national church in supporting and facilitating the self-determining Indigenous Anglican Church in Canada. In some ways, this is in response to the calls to action from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And in fact, it is also in response to the calls for a self-determining church that our Indigenous sisters and brothers have been calling for decades, since the 60s and before. And we're finally dealing with it, and thanks be to God for that. In the words of the dynamic and inspiring speaker, the Reverend Dr. Martin Brokenleg, who was our speaker for the event, and I would like, as an aside, to draw your attention to the fact that his speaking, his lectures that he gave, they weren't quite lectures, but His talks were videoed, and that's available on the Anglican Church of Canada website. So I invite you to look that up. It's under Indigenous Ministries. Get yourself a cup of tea and watch those Dr. Martin Brokenleg videos, because they're well worth it. But before you do that, because I won't give you enough time in the rest of my sermon to look that up, I'll share with you some of what he did say in Pinawa. He is challenging, I would like to caution you, so be prepared to be challenged. A real relationship amongst First Nations Christians and Eurocentric Christians presumes accurate mutual understanding, particularly of the inner worlds of one another. First Nations are not a homogeneous group, but are made up of distinctive cultural groups. Probably the greatest difference between Indigenous and newcomers in the Americas is the communal life of the Indigenous peoples and the individualism of Western culture. From the first moments of life through to the end of life in this world and beyond, First Nations live in communal relationships. One's own identity is subordinate to that of the family, and one's sole motivation is the family and its well-being. Reward comes only from successful family relationships, not from monetary or prestigious outcomes. This communal life conflicts with the individualism of the dominant cultures here on Turtle Island, as the dominant cultures assume an individualistic paradigm for education, professional development, and even housing. Individualist cultures assume that everyone wants the individual version of these things. Many Eurocentric North Americans are shocked that Indigenous peoples do not want all that the dominant society has to offer. Deep misunderstandings exist when Christians from an individualistic culture make assumptions about the world of Christians from a communal culture, and vice versa. Christianity, in its European adaptation, uses the arts, the ceremonial formats, the symbol systems, language, and mentality of Western culture. That's why we're all sitting in rows. This can lead to the laying on of patterns of individualism over Christianity, as though individualism is foundational to the teachings of Jesus, when it isn't. The phrase, "your personal Lord and Savior," comes to mind. It's commonplace in many Eurocentric churches, as though faith is an individual affair. For First Nations and other communal cultures, faith is a communal experience, and the entire community sees its teachings as belonging to the whole group. Eurocentric cultures also promote a gospel of progress, the idea that the world is getting better and better. When Indigenous peoples see the world as already in a state of wholeness, Eurocentric people often see this viewpoint as somehow backward. And here's another one, Martin Broken Leg, pre-contact Christianity. The idea that God knew all the nations of the earth, let alone the tradition we teach that God created all the nations of the earth. It's found readily even in our gospel lesson this day. And fear not, I am not proof texting, but let me read for you again the beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. So here we have what I would call firm evidence. All things came into being through him. In learning about one another, our goal is mutual understanding leading towards justice. That is our goal in learning about one another. Mutual understanding leading towards justice. We have a lot to learn from one another. And as many of you will have discovered, a lot to unlearn first. Sometimes words get in the way. So, sometimes don't use words. It's a beautiful thing to be in a mutual space of sharing, respect, and honesty. It takes humility, courage, and perseverance, flexibility, and nimbleness. You are not alone. There are many working with you in this transforming justice. It is right to be engaged at this time, in this place, in this way. So take heart and keep your foot on the gas. Serve one another, love one another, and through that, we shape ourselves and one another into the hands and feet of Jesus in our neighborhoods. Serve one another, love one another, wait on God, contemplate God's love, and engage in intentional community building, justice seeking, and in prayerful solitude. Serve one another, love one another. Serve, love, love. Unto God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Holy Spirit be ascribed all honor and glory, majesty and might, now and in the age to come. Amen.